Dear brothers and sisters, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, glorify and give thanks to our beloved Lord and God the Father. Today is a blessed and joyful Easter Sunday. Approximately 2,000 years ago on a Friday, Jesus was crucified and gave up his life on the cross. Early Sunday morning, the third day, Jesus broke the power of death and rose again as the Lord of life and resurrection. We observe Easter to commemorate the day when Jesus came to earth as the Savior of all mankind, died and rose again. If Jesus hadn't died on the cross for us, nor overcome death and risen again, our faith would have no meaning. It's because Jesus bore our sins and died on the cross that our sins have been forgiven. Because Jesus broke the power of death and rose again, we who believe in him can also have the hope of resurrection and eternal life. But there are two kinds of resurrections, spiritual resurrection and physical resurrection. Spiritual resurrection refers to receiving Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, coming into our hearts to bring life to our once dead spirit. Even if the physical body dies on earth, the souls whose dead spirit has come alive and received salvation enters heaven and waits for the day of judgment. So even if you don't enter the real heavenly kingdom where all your rewards are, people whose dead spirits has come alive, they enter in the outskirts of paradise and almost receive like education and wait there until the day of judgment. It doesn't mean that they won't receive their rewards in heaven. They will. However, there is always a time and a place. And even though in the physical world they have passed away and separated from the rest of the world, they wait at the edge of paradise until the day of judgment. When the Lord returns, souls of the saved believers will descend from heaven with the Lord, and their bodies will rise from the grave and be transformed into a spiritual body. This is because their spirit soul has gone to heaven and they're waiting there in the waiting place. So when the Lord returns, all of those souls of the saved believers will descend from heaven with the Lord. The Lord won't be by himself. He'll bring all the others who have been saved back down to earth together. And it's not just the souls of the saved believers. These people who have already passed but have been saved, they undergo a resurrection because their bodies have been put into the ground in the grave. So their bodies will rise again from the grave and be reunited with their souls and be transformed into a spiritual body, a resurrected body. So Christians on earth at the time of the Lord's second coming, so those who are still alive physically on earth, will be changed into an imperishable spiritual body, the resurrected body, and be caught up into the air. If you think about a high jump athlete and say, you know, this professional high jumper jumps as high as they can, but how far can they actually really jump? And these professional athletes all need time to prepare before they actually jump high as well. They have that speed up run, pre-run. But when Christians on earth at the time of the Lord's coming are changed into an imperishable spiritual body, they're caught up into the air straight away. And through God's power, miraculous works immediately occur where people are changed into an imperishable spiritual body and This is called rapture, when we're caught up in the air. The perishable body, putting on the imperishable spiritual body, is physical resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:17 to 19. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ only in this life, for those Christians that have already passed, these people who have already passed, these Christians, if Christ was not real, then, you know, their life is perished. But if we have hoped in Christ only in this life, we are of all men most to be pitied. If Christians have no hope of enjoying the glory of heaven, then why not live according to our desires, eating, drinking, and indulging like worldly people? What reason is there to live a difficult life of faith? What reason is there to get rid of sin? You know, people, non-believers, non-Christians, they hate people they don't like. They, you know, complain when they want to complain. They rebuke when they want to rebuke. They curse when they want to curse. And they don't realize that it's sin. They don't care that they're annoying other people or hurting other people. They judge and say that the other person is weak. If they had strength, then they would, you know, fight back. Or they might say that, you know, they might follow according to law and not hurt other people, but in their heart, in their thoughts, they've already, you know, murdered other people, hated other people. And even if non-Christians follow the law or don't try and break the law, but in their heart, they don't feel that way. Christians who have received salvation or walk the path of Christ, they know that they shouldn't hate in their heart. They know that it's sin to have these sinful, you know, attributes, feelings, emotions in their heart. And they know, they try and control themselves because the Holy Spirit cries in their heart saying not to do these, not to sin, not to have fleshly thoughts. But non-Christians, you know, as long as they don't break the law, they freely complain. They freely express their emotions. And of course, if life fully ended, you know, just on this physical world, then of course you might live that way. However, there is heaven. Heaven is real. So if we live however we want to live, then we would live in sin. And we know that if we live in sin, then the end result is hell. So we work, we put in our effort, and we get rid of, and we cast off the sin in our heart so that we can be transformed, so that we can enter heaven. And when we do sin, we repent. And if someone else hates us, or someone else sins against us, or complains against us, instead we repent and say that we lack in love. That, you know, we weren't able to show our goodness, and that we are the ones with hate in our heart. And if heaven wasn't real, how pitiful are all Christians. But heaven is real. And why it's not, and the reason Christians are not pitiful is because the afterlife is real. Everyone's Christian life is different. And in Korea, to commemorate Easter, you know, many hand out Easter eggs. But some people, some Christians, they don't pray. They don't worship. They don't try and cast off sin. But then with their words, with their mouth, they say that they believe in Jesus Christ, that they'll be resurrected. But what about members? We try our best to be sanctified. We try our best to cast off sin. Even if it's sin from the roots of our heart. It's a great difference between Christians who don't put in the effort and Christians who do put in the effort. Christians who try and resemble the Lord. Who try and live a faithful Christian life. Father God sees this and will reward you. There is no loss. There is no loss in this world. And Christians who say that they, you know, believe and know that there's heaven and hell still forget and only look at what's right in front of them and only look at the benefits that's right in front of them. They don't realize that at the end of this short life on earth that there is an everlasting, eternal afterlife. Father God will repay us. And this must be true faith, true belief for all of us. And it's why we don't place our hope in this world, but in heaven. We know that all our labor and faithfulness for God will be rewarded because we firmly believe in resurrection and entering heaven. May today's message bring the joy of the Lord's resurrection in your heart. And I hope that you'll be filled with the hope of resurrection with the Lord on the last day and become true witnesses of the resurrection by leading many other souls to salvation. Dear brothers and sisters, these days many Christians take Jesus' resurrection for granted. It's familiar, having heard and learned about it often in church. But to the people of Jesus' time, the resurrection of Jesus was truly amazing. Even the disciples who had been personally taught by Jesus for 3 years became discouraged and believed all had ended when he was crucified on the cross. Out of fear that they might be harmed, they locked their doors and hid in secret. When the women who met the angel at Jesus' tomb early Sunday morning and Mary Magdalene who first encountered the risen Lord shared the news of his resurrection, the disciples didn't believe it. When the Lord himself, when the risen Lord himself appeared directly to the disciples, they still couldn't believe. Luke 24:37. But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. Though slightly awkward, the disciples were actually afraid and thought that they'd seen a ghost when they saw the risen Lord. During his public ministry, Jesus taught many times that he would die and rise again. But the disciples were unable to believe in the resurrection. They certainly knew that Jesus had died on the cross and been buried in the tomb. So when the risen Lord appeared before their very eyes, they still couldn't believe and thought he was a spirit. It was because they couldn't believe that someone could die and come back to life. To these disciples, the Lord showed undeniable evidence so that they could believe. The Lord showed the disciples his marked hands and feet and his side marked by the spear. The Lord said in Luke 24:39, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Jesus allowed the disciples to touch his resurrected body to prove that he was not a spirit. So our bodies right now is a physical body. We have flesh and we have bones. And of course, our physical body will perish. But those souls of saved believers who have already gone to heaven and are waiting at the waiting place, and, you know, pray for all of the other Christians in this world, these saved believers have a different kind of body. And what kind of body do they have? They have a body That's spiritual. It's a spiritual body. And the spiritual body has no flesh and bones. And you can't really see it with physical eyes. When you have spiritual eyes that are opened through God, that's when you can see the spiritual bodies. And these saved believers who are already in the waiting place in heaven, they have a spiritual body that we cannot see with physical eyes. Our eyes, our bodies are physical. They're imperishable. But the Lord showed that His body was risen with flesh and bones. And that was to give hope of resurrection to the disciples. So the disciples still couldn't believe. So the Lord ate a piece of broiled fish in their presence. Only then did the disciples believe. As we see in today's Bible passage, Thomas was not with them at the time and didn't personally witness the risen Lord. John 20:25, so the disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Even though the other disciples united in testifying to the resurrection of the Lord, Thomas said, "Unless I see it for myself and touch it with my own hands, I cannot believe." And we might think, if we see Jesus' resurrected body, then will it have, the nails, the imprint of the nails? An imprint of the side? But no, Jesus won't. The Lord won't. Because at the time, Jesus had those imprints, those scars, so that the disciples could believe. It was only so that the disciples could believe. And, how tragic would Jesus feel if he had heard Thomas's words? So to Thomas, the Lord appeared again. The Lord said in John 20:27, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here with your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Only then did Thomas truly believe in the resurrection of the Lord and confess, "My Lord and my God." Thomas came to understand that the other disciples had not seen a vision nor a ghost, but Jesus, their teacher, who had died and come back to life. Thomas came to confess his faith, truly believing that Jesus was the Son of God and one with the Father. Our Lord Jesus gave countless evidence both before and after His resurrection for our belief. He performed countless acts of power before being crucified and gave us believable evidence by foretelling for future events. The Lord clearly spoke. The Lord clearly spoke of Judas's betrayal and foretold that he would be arrested by the Jews before crucifixion. He explained that his death on the cross was to fulfill God's plan of salvation and that every step of the process was part of God's divine plan. The Lord also said that he would rise after 3 days and go to Galilee ahead of the disciples after his resurrection. Despite these words, the disciples didn't understand nor remember them. They had witnessed countless miracles and signs for 3 years and professed to believe in Jesus' words, but their minds were still focused on earthly matters, fleshly thoughts, and their ears were not open to spiritual truths. We need to realize that we are the same. we have seen and we personally still see God's works happening in this world. Other people, non-Christians and worldly people, they say that, oh, it's just, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime miracle. But if it was a miracle, then it should really just be the one time, right? But outworks of power through God, healing works occur and everything is healed completely, as if there was no disease before. And there have been so many works of power evidenced from the start, even until now. God's power has not stopped. You know, it's not on and off. It's not, oh, there's power here and no power there. There is clear evidence. So even, you know, if you believe without seeing, it's great blessing. But then, you know, in order to have that true faith, we show an evidence God's great works of power. So we can't go back 2,000 years and travel back and see Jesus. So, you know, through the name of Jesus Christ, through the resurrected Lord, through the power of God, we see the evidence of the living God. And if we consider Mary Magdalene, you know, why did, within that short amount of time, did Jesus appear after being risen before Mary Magdalene? It's to show that all of this is real, that God, the Trinity, is real. And if you still don't believe, then what can you see in order to believe? Will you believe if there's, you know, writings in the sky? But God doesn't work that way. God is showing us His great works of power, and we need to be thankful that we are part of the world where we can see God's great works of power. We need to think, you know, through prayer at the altar, how can these diseases or illnesses or problems be solved? You know, arthritises that don't allow people to walk properly, they're healed through prayer. You know, we saw testimonies of pets, dogs that have been healed through prayer. Is it a coincidence? If it was a coincidence, then, you know, they should have been healed without the prayer or perfected without the prayer. But it was through the prayer that they were all healed. And if we can't believe, then you need to go before God and ask and seek belief. And you need to go and talk to people who have actually experienced those works of power and speak with them. Don't just listen to the testimonies spoken from the altar. Go ask them. Go ask the people who have testified. Ask other people around you and see if they received answers, received healing works. Ask them how they met God personally. And then go before God and ask for faith so that you can have true faith. But if you're still thinking through fleshly thoughts that it's a coincidence, or, you know, how is this real, or how can this happen? Then, you know, it's pretty sad. then you need to realize that, you know, you don't have, it's fleshly faith. So ask to have that true faith. So by personally witnessing the resurrection of the Lord, the disciples were completely transformed. After receiving the promised Holy Spirit, following the ascension of the risen Lord, the disciples' spiritual ears finally opened, and they could understand and believe the spiritual meanings of Jesus' words. The disciples performed countless acts of power in the name of Jesus Christ, becoming true witnesses of His resurrection. Just as the Lord gave the disciples evidence so that they could have spiritual faith, He also gives us evidence so we may believe. If our spiritual eyes open, we can see the risen Lord ourselves. Jesus said to Thomas, who only confessed faith after seeing and touching the nailed, scarred hands in the Lord's pierced side, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed." We can still believe in the Lord's resurrection even if our spiritual eyes haven't opened to directly see the Lord, and believe that we'll be resurrected as well. It's because countless evidence continues to appear in the name of the risen and living Lord. Even if you practice your faith for a month at our church, you can personally experience many testimonies. You know, recently, we've heard news that just registered believers have received healings of, you know, severe illnesses. And so I'm so thankful to pastors and, you know, people who spread the gospel, who share and evangelize, because they have faith. And they confidently and boldly share the gospel of God. So we need to do the same as well. We need to evangelize, and not just evangelize, but show evidence that God is real, that God does heal, that God does solve problems. So that, you know, people around you, worldly people, can come in and say that, oh, Mammy Central Church is different. Is amazing. And these days, you know, it's great joy to hear that so many new members are registering at our church. But if Levites, if church workers, if pastors lose their first love, their fervent for God, then you must reclaim your first love. You must reclaim your fervor and share the gospel with confidence and boldness. When we pray, you know, each week, many testimonies of healing and works of power occur, so much that not all can be shared due to time constraints. But when we pray in the name of the risen and living Lord Jesus Christ, things that seem impossible become possible. Paralyzed and weakened bodies are revived, and incurable diseases completely healed. Many testify of full health. Unsolvable problems are resolved, and hopeless situations are miraculously turned around. God's power transcends time and space, where people experience His works online, through videos, or a prayer on a photo. Lately, we've, you know, been hearing testimonies of pets being healed through prayer. Those bound by limited knowledge and fleshly thoughts are unable to believe. But Mammon Church members continually experience the works of power in the name of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, and able to have spiritual faith. Beyond the healings and manifestations of power, many signs and wonders follow this church in the name of the Lord. These signs, wonders, and works of power all appear through the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Through this countless evidence, we're able to believe in His resurrection and in the Word of God recorded in the Bible. The resurrected Lord continues to reveal countless works impossible by human ability and knocks on the hearts of many so that they may break free from fleshly thoughts, believe, and receive salvation. If you refuse to cast aside fleshly thoughts and persist in doubting, then you'll never believe in resurrection. The Jews in Jesus' time saw and heard countless works of power and given testimonies of the risen Lord, but they still did not believe. In the end, they went the path of destruction. You know, and it's because they wanted to believe that it was fake. So they check to see if it's fake. And when they do check and confirm that it's actually real, they still judge and condemn. They still exert that, you know, it's fake, that it's not real. It's the same today. Father God shows great works of power, but if your hearts are closed, then you cannot believe. But if you resolve to get rid of and cast off fleshly thoughts and have that decision to break free and choose to believe, then you can have true faith and experience the living Lord's works in every moment of your life. When we believe in the Lord's resurrection from the bottom of our hearts, our lives differ from worldly people or when we only had knowledge-based faith. Firstly, those who believe in the Lord's resurrection are filled with the hope of heaven and eternal life in their heart and always overflow with joy and thanksgiving. And when you listen to this, I hope that you can reflect upon yourself and check whether you do the same. So first, those who believe in the Lord's resurrection always overflow with joy. Our Lord, who resurrected in a glorious body and ascended into heaven, will return just as promised on the clouds of glory to take us with Him. And on that day, we who believe in the Lord will be transformed into resurrected bodies and enter the eternal heaven. No matter how difficult or painful life may be on this earth, it is momentary in comparison to heaven. When we remember that we'll soon enter the beautiful heaven, we can overcome any hardship with thanksgiving. If persecution and trials occur because of the life lived for the Lord, we can overcome it by relying on God and standing firm in faith, just as Jesus endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of God's throne. Because we have flesh, and because we live on this world, sometimes persecutions and trials and sufferings and difficulties in our life and the, you know, and feeling sorry and apologetic when we do find our sinful natures. And, at, you know, for a short amount of time, we might feel sad or we might feel like our life is difficult. However, we can take hold of that and transform our hearts that were previously full of, you know, worries and anxiety, and transform that because we have faith in God and God will help us. And we can change our thoughts from worries to joy and thanksgiving. And we can pray fervently to overcome any obstacles. Life on earth does have its difficulties. You know, we can't just live life without any worries at all. But when we do have those worries, when we do have problems, then we can overcome that straight away through God, through fervent prayer, through hope, and through faith. Those who truly believe in the Lord's resurrection are filled with hope for heaven and eternal life. Their faces shine with light and overflow with songs of joy. Everyone a part of Manmin are blessed, for in these last days you witness God's amazing power and understand His providence in human cultivation. You are transforming, evangelizing, and faithfully serving to fulfill His will. How great and marvelous will the glory be when we fulfill the mission given to us and welcome the Lord at His return. May your lives be filled with this hope, joy, and thanksgiving always. When I have my duty as the senior pastor, you know, of course I also have difficulties and problems. Why wouldn't I? But when I fervently pray, God gives me power, gives me strength to overcome. You know, my worries, my difficulties, they don't last a day because I fervently pray and I give it to God, and God helps me overcome any obstacles. Secondly, those who believe in the resurrection from the bottom of their hearts cast off sin, pursue sanctification, and faithfully serve. 1 Corinthians 15:41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for stars differs from star in glory. This shows that the glory each believer receives at the resurrection will differ according to each person's spiritual faith, referring to level of sin cast off, sanctification achieved, faithfulness changes each person's dwelling place. And we say this in church that, you know, people with a bigger heart field, they look after others more. They serve more. But people with a small heart field, they just complain. They don't serve. They don't humble themselves. And in church, there are people who, you know, shed tears on behalf of others, serve on behalf of others. Is it pitiful? No, it's not, because when they go to heaven, when people enter heaven, people with a bigger heart field have bigger rewards, receive bigger rewards. When you go to heaven, you'll actually regret not having a bigger heart field. You would regret why you didn't act this way, why you couldn't respond better. Don't choose what's right in front of you. Don't choose the worldly that's right in front of you. You are investing right now for the eternal rewards in heaven. Nobody can take away your rewards in heaven when you enter heaven. It's true wisdom when you invest for the future, future being heaven. Those who have cast off all evil from the heart and faithfully devote themselves to God's kingdom will dwell near Father God's throne in heaven and enjoy indescribable glory. 1 John 3:3, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. It's also the reason why we pray, fast, keep to the weekly sermons of sanctification, examine the smallest detail in our lives, and strive to cast off the appearance of evil. It's the reason why we don't say it's difficult and faithfully carry out duties like evangelism, because we have hope of resurrection. Thirdly, those who believe in resurrection from the heart live a life that glorifies God and constantly experience that all things are possible through faith. Mark 9:23, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. If we have faith, we can draw down the power of God the Creator. Nothing is impossible through faith, whether it's raising the dead, healing the sicknesses and weaknesses, resolving interpersonal issues, or solving complicated problems. But it must not be fleshly faith, but true faith, which is spiritual faith. Spiritual faith is not something we can obtain because we want it. It's only given from above to the extent that we cast off sin, become sanctified in the heart, break away from fleshly thoughts, pray fervently, and please God. We must not ask with evil motives or greed, but seek what's pleasing in God's sight. Then spiritual faith will come upon us. With this spiritual faith, we can receive answers and give glory to God when we pray in the name of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:13. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. May we all strive to attain spiritual faith, experience God's answers, and glorify God in all things. Dear brothers and sisters, after witnessing the Lord's resurrection, the disciples were fully convinced of their own future resurrection and began living transformed lives. Before being changed, they would argue among themselves about who is the greatest, without understanding the spiritual meaning, and ask to sit on his right and left in glory and seek power and honor on this earth. Once filled with the faith of resurrection and hope of heaven, the disciples set their eyes on the eternal glory of heaven. They devoted their entire lives for the sake of heaven, was committed to the gospel, and gave their lives in martyrdom. Even Thomas, who was full of doubt in today's passage, testified of the Lord's resurrection without fearing death and eventually martyred. Those who devoted their entire lives for the gospel, giving up their life, will be resurrected in the most radiant and glorious form when the Lord returns. When your first love for the Lord burned, like the disciples, you would have been full of hope for heaven, feeling as though you could martyr for God. Has that remained unchanged? Today is Easter Sunday. May you fully restore your first love and press on toward New Jerusalem with deepening passion and love each day. So when the final trumpet of the Lord's return sounds with a mighty blast, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will take part in the resurrection, shine like the noonday sun in glory, and be embraced in the arms of the returning Lord.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.